3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
It's 8:30 a.m. That is, of course, local time. It's 19:30 UTC, which means it's time for another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe, and I'm your chairman. I'm sitting here next to Hello Kitty. And what do you think we're up to this fine evening? If you guessed watching football highlights, you would be correct. 10 points for everybody who guessed correctly. And Johnny Sacco is going to be coming on here in a few minutes, but I can't watch it because I have to watch the highlights of these games because I didn't see these games earlier today because, well, to be frank, I slept through them. I actually kind of slept okay, so that's good. But the bad news is, of course, that I missed the games when they were live. And I only got to see about half of one when I should have watched three. Am I a terrible person? Yes. Yes, I am. So they're showing the highlights of the Arsenal versus Burnley game. And Arsene Wenger, the manager for Arsenal, was mouthing off to the referees, and he got sent off and got sent into the tunnel. And then when he went into the tunnel, he laid hands on the fourth official. That's a big no-no. He's going to get in trouble. So I'm sitting here drinking tea. Oh, it's so good. So good. Okay, so I'm excited about seeing what happens to Arsene Wenger. We're not going to find out for a couple days, but that's one thing you cannot do. You cannot touch any of the match officials, including but not limited to the referee, the linesman, the fourth official, or anybody else involved. That's the job for me. I want to be the fourth official. That's the guy who, well, his main purpose, his entire raison d'etre, is to be the substitute for the referee. If the referee gets hurt or something happens that the referee can't referee anymore, then the fourth official goes in for the referee. Now, being as that rarely happens, all the fourth official ends up really doing is making sure that the managers stay in their technical area. The managers of a football team are not allowed to roam up and down the sidelines or run out onto the field or do anything, not like in American sports. They are confined to little boxes, and if they exit those boxes, that's a big problem. That's a big no-no, and so he's there to do that. The fourth official is also the guy who holds up the board when there's a substitution that has the little lights on it that shows who's going in and going out. And that's my favorite part of the job. And then at the end of the game, he also holds up the same board to indicate any number of additional minutes to be played. Because as you may or may not know, in real men's football, the game is only ostensibly 90 minutes. It is at the discretion of the referee. The referee keeps the official time. Nobody else does. The game starts when the referee says it starts, and the game ends when the referee says it ends. There's no scoreboard with an official clock or anything stupid like that. So that's your football lesson for today. Coming up next are highlights from the Chelsea and Hull game, which is the game that I saw half of. So I guess I gotta pay some attention to that. But not really. Oh boy. Speaking of English stuff, you probably realize by now that I am in fact watching the English Premier League. I did a little bit of research tonight. I was watching my soap opera, which is about a fictional English royal family, and it's absolutely hilarious. This episode was pretty good. It wasn't as great as it could have been, but this one was just introducing a whole load of new characters. Great, just what we need. The characters they have are great enough. We don't need more guys, unless they're going to kill them off. But I digress. As you know, if you're a regular listener to this show, I have often wondered what building they're using for their exterior shots of the palace. Obviously, they're not using the real Buckingham Palace, because I don't believe Her Royal Majesty Queen Elizabeth II would allow idiots, meaning the E! Entertainment Network, to shoot a television show in her home. And I've also seen this building, these grounds, used in other British movies when they need to have a palace, including, but not limited to, a film I watched recently, The Young Victoria. And I've seen this in other places too, and it's kind of driving me nuts. So, not a half an hour ago, I started looking up other palaces that maybe this could be, because I thought, okay, if they're not using Buckingham Palace, maybe they're using an older royal palace, or maybe they're using a former royal palace, or maybe they're using some palace that is lesser, because there's lots of palaces in England. In London alone, there's probably a dozen, and a lot of royal family still lives in these. And so I looked some up. I looked up Kensington Palace and St. James Palace and, oh, there was another one. And now I don't remember what it was. But I looked at all the pictures and they're not what I'm looking for. So I still haven't managed to find the fake palace. But I learned all about all of the royal family members who live in all the various palaces. Like Kensington Palace is used by the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince Harry, and his wife, whose name suddenly I forget, but her sister's name is Pippa. You know who I mean, Prince William. He lives there, Prince Harry lives there, and Prince Michael lives there, and the Duke of... Is Prince Michael also the Duke of Gloucester? I think so. I don't remember. I can't keep any of this stuff straight, because all these people, they have titles, you know, Prince whatever, and they also have styles. You know, the Duke of Gloucester. Like Prince William, he's the Duke of Cambridge. And he lives in Kensington Palace. Okay? Not in Kensington Palace, and he's not the Duke of Kensington. It's confusing. And I read a little bit about the Princess Royal, Anne, and she lives in St. James Palace. What was the other palace that I looked up? It was one that burned down or got... Yeah, there was a fire. Either way, I still am no closer. Well, I guess I'm a little bit closer, being as I've eliminated a few places. But I still have not discovered the true identity of the palace, or whatever it might be, building used in my soap opera and in movies. Quite mysterious. Seems to me like I'm trying to think of other movies or shows that I've seen that have been shot in this location. This is one I wish I knew a British person. If you are, in fact, a British person, email me right away and I will send you pictures of what I'm talking about, and you can tell me what this place really is. Sometimes I say, oh yeah, that's a restaurant that's down there. It's called the King's Palace Buffet. I know that's not, in fact, the case, but still, that would be funny. Now, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. So here we go with the highlights of the Chelsea and Hull game. They're showing Diego Costa scoring another goal. He's now the top scorer in the English Premier League, and even though he plays for Chelsea, you know, I'm not supposed to like this guy. He's been such a jerk, but he's cleaned up his act. He has learned that in England, you're not allowed to play like a toolbox, and he was being a toolbox. He's such a jerk. He likes to bite people, and he's a cheater, and he's just a horrid person. But he has learned that, you know, we don't do that here. Here in England, where I'm not. But I wish I was. I wish I was in England. I would drive around to all these palaces and find the right palace, and I would eat chicken balti pies and Yorkshire puddings. Actually, I would not want to drive in England. I would probably be very confused, and therefore a hazard to other motorists. Having a, you know, a car that drives on the right side of the road is going to be difficult enough. Then, you know, couple that with a right drive car, a car that has the steering wheel on the right side. That's probably going to be problematic for me. Or at least I imagine it would be, because, you know, you get used to doing certain things that have to do with what side of the car you're sitting in. You know, which direction I look first when I'm going to turn or go straight or come to a stop. Regardless, Diego Costa is not cool. I just got done eating a little while ago, and I'm pretty happy. I had good food. I nailed my own recipes. You know, I never measure anything, so sometimes my food doesn't taste exactly the same as it did the day before. And I got to open my brand new bottle of Maradaisu. And I did find out from Snowdusk, because I took a picture of the bottle's label, and I sent it to Snowdusk, and he did in fact confirm for me that it does say Maradaisu Shoyu Yamamoto. Yamamoto being the brand. And then we got talking about other soy sauces, and he said something about ponzu. And I said, you know, it's funny, I actually prefer Toyomansi over ponzu. And he laughed. He's like, oh my gosh, you know what that is? Yeah, I know what it is. And he says, yeah, if you ever see Datu Puti Toyomansi, you know that's Filipino. That's, you know, huge. And I just happen to have a bottle of it right there. I can see it from here. And so he was surprised to discover that I am also a fan of Datu Puti Toyomansi, because it's delicious. I'm going to have some more tea now. Yummy. If you don't know anything about soy sauce, basically what you need to know is ponzu is a soy sauce that is flavored with lemon. And so it has this citrus edge or note to it. It's really yummy. Toyomansi is soy sauce that is flavored with calamansi. Calamansi is a small citrus fruit that I often confuse with a satsuma. And it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed at my ignorance and my lack of education. I'm going to admit it right now in front of all my friends on SDF and everyone else who's listening. I cannot tell the difference between a calamansi and a satsuma. But can you really blame me, considering I've never actually seen either one? So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Tobe, if you've never seen one, if you've never seen either, how do you know you can't tell the difference between them? Well, I don't know. Perhaps I could. I wouldn't know. Regardless, there's lots of different kinds of soy sauce out there. Shoyu. And it's good stuff. I have various favorite kinds. MJT recently commented that that I have a lot of favorite of somethings, and that is true. I'm very particular about certain things, and not the things that some people think are important. You know, you have some people who, I will only drink Coca-Cola, blah blah blah, or I will only drive a Chevrolet and blah blah blah. I don't care about stuff like that at all. But when it comes to soy sauce, yeah, I have a specific kind that I really like and will eat no other. When it comes to rice, I'm the same way. All kinds of stuff like that. I have my favorites. I have very complex and exotic tastes. That's true. And that's just further reason why I believe I should be allowed to issue royal warrants of appointment. I've been fascinated by that concept recently. And I just wish I was the king or emperor or prince of something so I could actually, you know, issue royal warrants of appointment. These being nothing really more than the ability for a product to advertise the fact that our product is used by the prince or the king or the emperor or the princess or wherever. And you really see that in America because, well, we don't have kings and princesses here. But the first time I ever saw it was when I was a little kid. I don't know why we had the box in our house. Oh, probably because this might have been when we moved. When I was a kid, when my family first moved to this town when I was, you know, 1 year old, we lived in a house in a different neighborhood. And then, how old was I? When I was four or five, maybe? Or was I possibly as old as six? I think I was around five. We moved into the house that I consider the house I grew up in. And when we moved, we had to use a lot of boxes. And so my parents got a lot of free boxes from liquor stores. And one of the boxes from the liquor store was for Cutty Sark, the blended Scotch whiskey. And that has a royal warrant of appointment. And it was actually printed on the box. And when I was a little kid, I always sort of wondered what that meant. And it said, you know, by royal warrant of appointment, Her Royal Majesty Elizabeth II, blah, 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 blah. And it turns out that it means that that's the blended scotch that the Queen likes to drink. That's what she endorses it. She endorses it, but it's not like she sells it. The Queen doesn't go on TV to you know, hawk products, no. But the Cutty Sark Company can say, yes, we have the royal appointment, blah, blah, blah. We sell scotch to the royal household. So, maybe I will start, instead of royal warrants of appointment, I will issue Tobe warrants of awesomeness. And that will allow people to put a sticker on their product that says, Tobe uses this. Or, this is Tobe's favorite blank. And that way I can send it to Yamamoto and they can label their Maridaisu Shoyu with the Tobe warrant of awesomeness. And there's a, like a black and white picture of me with my thumbs up going, hey, this is good stuff. Tobe eats this. I really do. And, you know, all of these products that have royal warrants are actually used by whoever appoints them, the whatever royal family. It's not like in America where you have a celebrity come on and say, use this, it's great, I love it. And they really don't actually use that product. You know how it is in America. Advertising is just lying. So it's not like a celebrity endorsement. It's kind of a big deal. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time to get a royal warrant of appointment. So, there you have it. Aren't you glad you listened to this show? You learn the weirdest stuff, don't you? I know, right? So like I said, here I am, sitting here, watching the highlights of the football games that I missed. And the truth of the matter is, I'm kind of anxious. Not because I want to see these so bad, but coming up next, well, on a different channel, of course, on TCM, there's going to be an Akira Kurosawa movie that I've never seen called Redbeard. And it starts here in another hour and a half. I'm really looking forward to seeing this because I've never seen it before and I'm very curious. Akira Kurosawa is, I might as well probably say, my favorite film director of all time. I really love his work. And I try to see as much of his stuff as I can, but, you know, I'm poor, so I can't go out and buy all of his movies or anything. But I love the guy. And yeah, I have a lot of favorite directors, but, yeah, he's probably at the top of the list. And I haven't seen this movie, so I'm excited. And it turns out that my very favorite Japanese actor is also in this film. Can you guess who it is? If you guessed Toshiro Mifune, you are correct. Because he's awesome. And he might very well be Akira Kurosawa's favorite actor too, because Toshiro Mifune is in a lot of Akira Kurosawa movies. And he's, you know, usually a samurai. But in this movie, he's a doctor. So this should be pretty interesting. I'm going to check it out. I'm pretty excited about it. Oh, and I've talked long enough that Johnny Sacco is now on. I turned away briefly from my highlights because I'm watching the long-form highlights, and for some reason in this stupid show, they have to talk about the highlights they just saw. They got three talking heads just blah, blah, blah. Don't need to see it. Don't need to hear your opinions. Just show the damn highlights. Is that rude on my part? You know, I don't think so. Why do I have to listen to these guys? I can form my own opinions on what I just saw. And it's not like these are the game commentators. You know, these are ex post facto idiots. Do we really need this to happen? I don't, but apparently somebody at NBC thinks they need to exist and gets on my nerves. So you get 5 minutes of highlights, and then you get 10 minutes of people talking about the highlights. No, just... this is one reason I like the short-form highlights better. Just show all the goals. You never see a talking head, but there's a narrator. And one of the narrators is Izzy Clark. And I'd recognize her voice anywhere. But that's neither here nor there. But it does mean that we can watch Johnny Sacco for a few minutes. Oh, Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. This is such a terrible show, but it's funny to me. I love it. And to think that this show is as old as I am, or real close. And here they're showing U7, Johnny Sacco himself, holding a gun. They don't have any problem with kids having real guns and shooting people in this show. It's strangely hilarious. What is the gun? I can't tell. It's not real big, not real small. You know, kind of your basic, I don't know, maybe a 380. Who can say? I have no idea what's actually going on in this episode. Oh, but here's some monster dude. He's got a blue head and like oni teeth and funky hair, so he must be some kind of blue oni. And he's got a staff and he's turning other people into oni. And Johnny Sacco is running around in his shorts suit, but with a double-breasted trench coat. Oh, if only children really dressed like this in real life, that would be hilarious. I mean, life is pretty funny, but it can always get funnier. How are we doing on tea here? Well, we're getting kind of low. It's so good. But somebody's going to have to make more. And look at this. Here's an ad for the World Cup. Yeah. The 2018 World Cup. We're 18 months out. Why do we have to advertise it? I mean, who didn't know it was coming? It's every 4 years, people. Yes, I love to drink tea. And there it goes. Empty cup. It's time to make another 40 ounces of tea. Well, not right now. Obviously, I gotta wait another 6 minutes until this show is over. And then I will make more tea. Oh, good. The Leicester City versus Southampton.